More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Third hour of Clay and Buck right now, and feels like morning in America. Highly unlikely that either Trump or Clay going to prison because of Alvin Bragg. So it's a good day for the good guys.
I did Andy like McCarthy. That Andy McCarthy said he'd come out of retirement for me, Buck. That's a that's an important ally to have.
That's big time. That's right. He would don the lawyer's robes. They don't wear robes, only judges do, but you get what I'm saying. Once again, he'd take out the leather briefcase and show up in court to defend you. But yeah, no, it looks like Clay's going to be fine. Trump's going to be fine. Well, let's focus in on the Trump thing for a second. Not going to prison because of what happens in New York. I thought maybe they could ram this thing through super fast and then try to do some period of house arrest. I don't think they're going to send him to Rikers Island just because, not because they're above it ethically, but because they probably recognize that that is too far for the purposes of the public's opinion on this, right? Pretty widely, I think that would be denounced as the police state nonsense that it is. But it's tough to know with these lunatics. You know, I used to say you have to leave room for crazy. You know, you never know. Alvin Bragg, Andy made a great point. I'd forgotten about this, that Alvin Bragg had previously dropped this case. And the feds obviously, yes. The feds abandoned it entirely or never even took it up. They just said, and this is a joke. This is a non-case case. We don't care. It doesn't matter. So with all of that, let's take a look here at some of who is on this jury. Now, I will say Andy spent 20 years in the Southern District of New York, and he was locking up bad guys. You know, he worked the Blind Shake case as a prosecutor. That was a big deal. The first World Trade Center bombing, we always think so much about 9/11, understandably, but I still remember when I was told on the street by somebody, hey, do you hear about what happened at the World Trade Center? I was a little kid. It was 93. And I said, no. And they tried to take down that building with a truck bomb, if you remember. They just didn't understand the structural engineering well enough to put the truck bomb in the right place. And he prosecuted the Blind Shake, who was involved in that, and his co-conspirators. But the point being here, they were going after bad guys, and I think there was a clear understanding of what the mission was for the people in the Southern District of New York at that time. Now we're seeing this this repeating clown show of prosecutions in four different places of Donald Trump. And the most absurd is the one in New York City. You have these jurors. Now, Andy has faith, Clay, that there will be some. We've made the point, too, but I think it bears repeating. You only need one. You only need one person who would stand athwart the madness on that jury and say, I'm not going to be a part of this. But some of the jurors who have gotten deep into the process, or rather at least you get a sense of their mindset in this process, it's a little bit unnerving. This is a dismissed juror who told NBC News that in her mind, she could be fair and impartial, But I want you to hear what this person who told the court she could be fair and impartial thinks of Donald Trump. Play six.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who's adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious, and therefore made me angry. There are policies he has supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with.
Clay, they should make this woman the CEO of NPR.
I think she honestly sounds like about what every juror I would expect to get in Manhattan would sound like when asked. Okay, so here are the seven. I want you to help me rank, again, based on this limited data, who we think are potentially in this seven, maybe willing to consider something other than a guilty verdict. In other words, this is a rigged system. There's very strong likelihood that you're going to get a very biased against Trump jury compared to what a nationwide jury, for instance, would look like. Here's the first juror. This is the four person. I'm reading from The Hill. A man who is originally from Ireland now lives in West Harlem. He works in sales and gets his news from the New York Times, the Daily Mail, Fox News, and MSNBC. He will serve as the four person. So I'm a little bit skeptical here in general. First of all, the guy's from Ireland and lives in Harlem. I can't imagine there's that many Irish people living in Harlem. I'm just going to toss that out. Or you disagree?
Well, there's not a lot, but I will say that Harlem, particularly what's kind of known as Spanish Harlem, is a place that a lot of young professionals have moved to that who are neither Hispanic nor black, which is generally the demographic of Harlem, just because there's some beautiful old buildings there and the rents are affordable. So you do get people, especially around the 125th Street down to 96th Street for our WOR listeners. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you can get a really nice apartment up there for a third of what it costs when you go south of 96th Street.
Okay, so I'm just skeptical. I don't think there's actually very many people who get their news from Fox News and MSNBC. Like, when I see that, that to me is someone trying to claim I'm completely unbiased.
To be fair, I do watch MSNBC coverage on election nights when Democrats are losing.
So yes.
To be fair, it is very entertaining. But yes, I see your point about editorial lines.
I'm not thinking that's probably a very favorable jurist for Trump in general. Second juror, a woman who is a native New Yorker and has been an oncology nurse for 15 years. She spends her free time with family and friends taking her dog to the park. There isn't a lot here. Obviously, cancer nurse, effectively 15 years. Doesn't say that she's married or that she has kids, which makes me think that this is probably not a good juror for Trump. I don't think that single women in general are going in Manhattan are very open to believing in Donald Trump. So I think that's a really bad juror for him.
It's not a good juror for him. I think there could be worse. I mean, I think the woman that we played the audio from where she was talking about her immunocompromised boyfriend or something, like, that's a definite conviction. But anyway, who's next?
Third juror, young to middle-aged Asian man. That's a broad phrase. Like, would we be young to middle-aged or just middle-aged? I don't know where we would classify.
I think sadly just middle-aged, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. So young to middle-aged would be what, like 35? I don't know. A young to middle-aged Asian man. This is the Hill descriptions, by the way, thehill.com, who lives in Chelsea and grew up in Oregon. He is a corporate attorney. I think that's a tough putt to say.
That's an L for the Trumpster. That's an L right there. That's an L for the Trumpster.
Fourth juror, a middle-aged man born in Puerto Rico who's lived on the Lower East Side for more than 40 years. He told the court he has no spare time for hobbies and is self-employed. Wife is a writer, and he has a kid that works in sales and research. I don't know that that's awful.
50-50. 50-50. Yeah. You can get if he's a Hispanic small business owner, for example.
Yep. Self-employed.
You know, those self-employed, right? You know, this is somebody who may want law and order, who may respect Trump's braggadocio. That could go either way for me.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad one. This one, I think, may be the worst on the board for Trump. Fifth juror, a young black woman and Harlem native who has taught English language and arts for 8 years. She's never been married, has no kids, and said she considers herself a creative at heart.
That's a vote for conviction. He is not going to win that juror over, in my opinion.
I said that she might be the worst. This one's not good for Trump either. Sixth juror. If I start with a Disney employee, you're like, oh boy. A Disney employee who was previously a student, three roommates, unmarried, without kids. A lot of unmarried women is bad for Trump. I'm just going to say. I don't think there's going to be many unmarried women that are all in. I think that's bad. This guy I was cautiously optimistic on, maybe. Seventh juror, you would know better the Manhattan aspect of this, lives on the Upper East Side.
Oh, that's the best for Trump. Upper East Side, that's the reddest. Keep going.
Originally from North Carolina.
I like that, it.
That's working decently. Civil litigator. Married with two kids.
Hmm. Okay. No. He gets his news.
We got a little bit more info. Yeah.
Okay.
Gets his news from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, and the Washington Post, and said that he listens to podcasts Smartless and Car Talk.
This could be the guy who refuses to go along and convict Trump. Now, let me tell you what I'm thinking here. And again, we are, you want to talk about reading the tea leaves. This is,
by the way, what the lawyers have to do. They have to make their own reads based on this info, too. So it's doing something similar.
Like we're doing our version of voir dire here, right? We're doing our own. I would say this about that, because living on the Upper East Side, just by the numbers, that's the most favorable Trump terrain in all of Manhattan and outside of Staten Island.
For people who don't know Manhattan, the Upper East Side says to you what? What does that tell you?
Well, that's where I grew up. So the Upper East Side, you have, a traditional, old school, element of people that are kind of, if you're right wing and you work on Wall Street or in law or in medicine, you tend to live on the Upper East Side of New York City.
That's just
the way it is.
That's also very
family oriented, because a lot of the top private schools and actually some excellent public schools as well are on the Upper East Side. So you get young families. You know, it's also kind of separated. There's, you know, west of, let's say, from Third Avenue West is outrageously expensive. You go east, you actually have some of the more affordable for Manhattan, which is still not affordable, but some of the more affordable housing options for working professionals, not like low income housing, but for people that are, you know, trying to make a living and make ends meet. So, this is, I think, a good data point. When Joe Loda ran against de Blasio, I think the only two the only place that went red in Manhattan was the Upper East Side, and the only borough that went red was Staten Island. So this is why I said we got to get your trial. That's not going to happen. Move to Staten Island.
Talk, North Carolina, admits that he reads the New York Post. That's all very favorable to Trump.
I mean, it means that this guy, I don't think this guy, my guess would be, and these are guesses, okay? We're very clear about that.
Yeah.
My guess would be this guy isn't a huge Trump supporter, but lives in reality. And lives in reality to the extent where he'll be able to parse through what's really going on here and won't be a pushover in the system. That's my, you know, won't just go along with whatever brag and the prosecutors tell him. He could be a lawyer who puts even pronouns in his bio, not because he believes in it, but because a lot of law firms now, people feel pressured to do that. And if you want to make partner at some woke law firm, which is all the biggest ones now, some people go along with it, and he may secretly resent that a little bit. He may find that whole, you know, this could be an opportunity for that juror, we don't know his name, right, to strike a blow for sanity. I may be putting way too much faith in this person, though, not having met him and not knowing very much about him.
My one concern would be, as a lawyer, everybody would know if you're the guy who refuses to convict. Does that destroy your career in New York? Like, irrespective of what the facts of the case show, if you become known as the guy who held out and refused to convict Trump as a lawyer, that could have way more of an impact than this Hispanic Puerto Rican guy who might be a small business owner where people are not going to really react one way or the other.
True. I think the Hispanic self-employed guy is another real possibility for a holdout against, because clearly there are going to be a number of people that want to convict Trump. Like, we know that there's not going to be
beyond a shadow.
They will not
doubt.
Acquit
yes.
him. The best he's going to get is a hung jury. I think that's a big challenge. The only way that I think he can get around it is somebody who has so much principle that they would risk their career, which is asking a lot. I know people say, "Oh, I would do it." Yeah, it's tougher when you have a wife and children and a mortgage to pay, right?
That's right.
To actually take that risk, but it's also the opportunity to be a megastar superhero to the right. You know what I mean? When you think of the calculations in a person's mind in that situation. So what do you think? Are we reading the juror pool right? Do you agree, disagree with any of our assessments? Would love to hear it from you. 800-282-2882. We're also going to talk to Sean Davis. Some of you have been asking, what the heck is going on with Republicans on Capitol Hill? Sean Davis is showing up with a sledgehammer. I'm telling you, he is very unhappy with this bill that is $90 billion, and it's a lot going overseas. Forget about the border. We're going to make sense of all that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. And, you know, we cut through all the nonsense and the noise in the news cycle. That is our job here, day in and day out. It's also what the job is of our friend Mark Chaykin, but he does it specifically in the stock market, separates the signal from the noise. Mark worked on Wall Street for 5 decades. He invented 3 new indices for the NASDAQ. And just look at his track record. You'll see somebody who has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the last 10 years, including the super focus on AI stocks. Now, Mark says many Americans are about to miss out on a critical turning point in this AI stock frenzy. He's saying there's a new dawn for U.S. stocks and predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days. Which is why Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with our listeners. He put everything you need to know in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com. Paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
when I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by our friend who runs the Federalist. He is going to be breaking down John everything Davis. That's going on Capitol Hill right now. And there are a lot of moving parts. I saw Sean Friday at a Marsha Blackburn fundraiser in Nashville at John Rich's house. It was a fun setup there. Couple of calls. Chris in East Hampstead, New Hampshire. What you Hampstead. Got for us?
Is it Hampstead? Yes, Hampstead, New Hampshire. Sorry, go ahead, Chris. Yep.
So I hope Trump's lawyers ask this Irish guy the right questions about what he pays attention to in Ireland, because the Irish Times is to the left of the New York Times, and this is the same country that put Che Guevara on a stamp. So, I mean, Fintan O'Toole is like MSNBC and CNN are probably far right to him. So, I mean,
I'm not optimistic that the Irish guy living in Harlem is going to be a big Trump guy.
Ireland is like the Cuba of Western Europe. It is a little communist island that is not very pro-capitalism. You want to take Steve real quick? You're Steve in Reading, Pennsylvania. Steve, what have you got for us?
Hey, I'm a gay white male in Reading, Pennsylvania. I'm 67 years old. My partner is 55. We've been in a relationship for 32 years. We've been married for 2 years. I listen to you regularly, so does he. And I've never heard you say anything anti-gay about anybody.
Thank you. Yeah, it's true. I mean, there isn't. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. It's because there isn't any. But you hit on it, Buck. As soon as I say, like, hey, I don't think men pretending to be women should be able to play sports, they take that as an anti-gay slur in some way, even though it's just supporting fairness basically in sports. I mean, it's crazy. Also crazy paying way more money than you need to pay. You can get hooked up right now with a phenomenal offer from our friends at MyPillow. They've got incredible offers right now for all of you to be able to take advantage of their special offers for a limited time. What is the offer right now? You can get a $25 extravaganza sale. That's a two-pack multi-use MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, sandals, sheets, more. Dozens of items in the $25 extravaganza sale, so be sure to head over to MyPillow.com to check them all out. They also have many travel pillows. I'm traveling right now myself. That doesn't sound like an awful thing. Here's how you get hooked up. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, $25 deal. Use our names, Clay and Buck, as the promo code. Free shipping on orders over $75. Promo code Clay and Buck. Do it today.
We want to take you up to Capitol Hill for a moment here and the shenanigans involving Republican leadership in the House. Our friend Sean Davis joins us now. He is the co-founder and CEO of The Federalist. Great work being done at TheFederalist.com day in and day out. Sean, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell everybody what's going on, because there's this noise about Marjorie Taylor Greene wanting to replace Johnson. Wait, did Johnson do something? There's money going overseas, $90 billion. What has happened first before we dive too far into what the heck is next?
So let's back up. You know, Kevin McCarthy was deposed. They had a motion to vacate, removed him. They put in Mike Johnson, I think, late October, early November. Mike Johnson looked good from the outset, said all the right things, seemed to believe all the right things, but specifically he made a number of claims and promises, foremost of which was he was not going to be moving money overseas for Ukraine or anyone else until our own border was secured. Those were his words. That was an ironclad, obvious, explicit commitment. And instead, we are in a position right now where he is attempting to force through the House, under threat of a motion to vacate from Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is pending, a massive, massive overseas aid bill, something like $100 billion for Ukraine, a bunch of money in Israel, a bunch of money throughout throughout Asia, and not a dime for the border. And so what's happening is there is chaos and disunity and all kinds of rancor in the House right now surrounding this. And it is all because Mike Johnson, for reasons I simply do not understand, refuses to honor his pledge and his promise to fix and fund border security before throwing another $100 billion at a non-American problem overseas.
So where does this all go? I mean, effectively, are we just going to be waiting until November to see? And Sean, it's good to talk with you. Good to see you on Friday at the Marsha Blackburn event. Keep up the good work, as I said then. But where does this all go? Are we just waiting till November to see who's going to have control of the House? Until then, does it matter a great deal who the Speaker is?
Well, right now, Democrats control the House right now. If you look at which bills have passed over the last 6 months or so,
right,
I think all but one has been passed with a majority of Democrat votes, not with a majority of Republican votes. So right now, Democrats are controlling the House. They're calling the shots. Democrats are controlling the Senate. So the question we have is, can we get to November without completely shooting ourselves in the foot and give Republican voters a reason to actually vote for Republicans and take back our country? Because looking at it right now, you look what Republicans are doing in Washington. They have the majority. Now, albeit it's a slim one, they have the majority. They have the numbers. They can actually bring Biden and Schumer over in the Senate to heel. And yet they refuse to do so, again, for reasons I simply do not understand. So from my perspective, the challenge for November is getting there without actually losing the majority, which we've been steadily losing for the last 6 months. I think it's now down to 2 seats. But actually getting to November with a reason for Republican voters to vote for Republicans. Because I'll tell you right now, looking at what they're doing in Washington, I'm having a tough time coming up with a good reason to vote for Republicans in the House when all they do is pass Democrat bills.
Yeah, and Sean, I just have to wonder how many times we're supposed to go through this cycle. And look, it's some people in both Congress and in the media do this whole, oh, we need, if we have a new leader, everything will be fine. Like, we talked about this when there was the push to get rid of McCarthy. It's like, okay, but is everything going to change? Is everything going to be fine? Or is this just now, Groundhog Day for us? I mean, what do you think the posture should be of Republicans in the House between now and the election so that we don't lose the majority, which is really about as thin as it could possibly be already?
I think the job of the House right now is to block nonsense from Joe Biden and to force Democrats to take votes they don't want to take so that we can maybe, hopefully, secure our border and fix the damage that's been done to the country. So stop the nonsense Biden is doing, force Democrats to take bad votes. Congressional Republican leadership is doing the opposite. They're like running away from trying to make Democrats take tough votes. Why on earth did they not make Democrats just vote up or down on Israel and secure U.S. border? That to me is the easiest thing in the world, and yet Republican leaders are doing everything they can to make it as difficult and pointless as possible. And honestly, I think the big problem is we have no leadership in Washington, D.C. We actually have no representation as normal voters, people who spend 6-7 months a year working just to fund the government. We have no one in Washington who seems to care about the things that are bothering us every day. Gas prices, how groceries are unaffordable, how roads and bridges are broken. All the things that we used to take for granted, which are just basic kind of daily necessities of life, are completely unaffordable. And what people in Washington, what Republican leaders are focusing on is not fixing those problems, but in sending more money to Ukraine. So I personally think we need a complete wholesale cleaning of the House of leadership. And we actually need to put people in there who are true leaders who care about the country more than they care about what the establishment
wants. Sean, how do they explain $95 billion in this House Appropriations Committee going overseas and not, as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, not a dollar going for the border? How can they make that calculation and not expect people to just say, what are you doing?
I don't think they care. I truly don't think they care.
Wow.
I don't know if it's something that's in the water. Mike Johnson, for example, this guy had a press conference where he straight up said, we're not doing this nonsense until we fix the border. And then he's gone and apparently forgotten he ever said that, because you'll notice none of his lieutenants or him ever actually try to explain their way around it. They just want you to forget they ever made the pledge. And I think people in Washington, I think they just don't care. I think they've drunk the Kool-Aid when it comes to Ukraine or Russia or whatever. And they have decided, again, for reasons that elude me, that a regional war between Russia and Ukraine that doesn't involve us is the literal most important thing happening in the world today. And if you're upset about gas prices or crime or your streets falling apart or the border being non-existent, it's only because you're a tool of Putin.
Sean, I don't know if you've got a strong take on this, but there's also talk that somehow this border bill could also include TikTok. And we know that the Senate moved aggressively on TikTok, and the House has to kind of figure out what to do. What do you think should happen with TikTok?
I think TikTok should be banned. I'm not really down with the whole divesting thing. It looks a little too much like the Intel surveillance state just wants to make sure its buddies at Facebook or Google have control of this massive surveillance tool so that then they can use it against their own people a lot more than they care about blocking China. So I think, you know, it's a tool of a communist government. Of course it shouldn't exist here any more than we would have been cool with importing a bunch of radios from the Soviet Union in 1960 that we knew they were listening in on during the midst of the Cold War. If somebody had proposed that in, you know, 1950 or 1960, they would have looked at you like you were a crazy person. Yeah, well, of course we should have Soviet radios with listening devices in their homes in the middle of the Cold War. So I think TikTok should be banned, but I also have pretty serious concerns about a government picking and choosing which websites are allowed to exist in this country. So while I think TikTok should be banned, that bill that they were pushing was an awful bill. It was poorly written. It was poorly reasoned. It had terrible downstream effects and unintended consequences. I think the bill was a disaster, but as far as allowing Chinese surveillance and spy tools to be in our pockets walking around with us, I think that's insanity.
No doubt. Sean, look forward to seeing you again sometime soon in the great state of Tennessee. Keep up the good work and appreciate you being flexible today.
Y'all are crushing it. Keep it up. Thank you for having me on.
For sure. That's Sean Davis, CEO, founder of The Federalist. They do great work there, including our friend Molly Hemingway, who does fantastic articles for them as well. When you switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk, you're getting the best service for the least amount of money every month. In fact, $20 a month gets you unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data from Pure Talk. Same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. Half the cost, though. Average-sized family will save almost $1,000 a year. No contracts or activation fees. They make it easy. When you switch to Pure Talk, you keep your phone and your phone number, and their customer service team is great. They're all here in the good old USA, eager to help. Make the switch today. Save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values and who creates American jobs. That's Pure Talk. My 15-year-old, well, sorry, he just turned 16. My 16-year-old has his own Pure Talk phone. I was texting with him a little bit earlier during the day. I use it to stay in touch with him. Soon, my 14-year-old will get his own cell phone. It'll be a Pure Talk phone. We use it to stay in touch with our family. You can do the same, and you can save a bundle in the process. Dial #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck. Make the switch today. That's #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Closing up shop, Wednesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate the Patriot, 1090 AM in Seattle, hosting me out here. I'm speaking at a Hillsdale College event this evening. Maybe some of you are going to be there. I think they've got a big crowd. Should be a fun event. Buck, you are out for the rest of the week. You are going to be out with the lovely Carrie. So you'll be back on Monday. Any major important closing words that you would have as you roll out for the week?
Just I get excited about the prospect of being returning and just having so many more subscribers to Crockett Coffee at CrockettCoffee.com.
Go to CrockettCoffee.com and check out the website if you haven't. You guys have been amazing. You took us to 6 figures in sales, which is unprecedented out of the gate. CrockettCoffee.com. Just go check it out. Try it. You get subscriptions. You can get rolling. We said if you're a history site that wants to be able to have our coffee to sell, if you're at the Hermitage or if you're at Davy Crockett's home or you're at the Alamo, Civil War battlefield, Civil War sites of interest. We're both big history nerds. We'd love to be affiliated with you guys and give you our product for free to be able to use in your establishments to help people get more historically knowledgeable. That would be absolutely fantastic. Truly would.
I agree.
John in Milwaukee, you had a question when Buck and I were breaking down the 7 jurors that have been seated so far and trying to analyze them based on the info that is public. What was your take on that?
I was going to give you some over-unders to bet on.
All right, give it. What do you got for me? I'll try to take some sides here.
I'm gonna set at 1.5 the over under. How many of them will have that goofy nose piercing like the Bulls? I'm gonna also set at 1.5. How many of them are gonna have over the top crazy colored hair?
Yeah.
And then at 0.5, how many of them are gonna display the LGBTQAI+ colors constantly?
Thank you for the call. The 7 jurors, Buck, I think you and I agreed, and I think this is such a fun thing, trying to pick a jury based on what is relatively limited knowledge. I think you and I agree that just based off the way that these guys and gals were described, that there were basically 2 jurors, a middle-aged man from Puerto Rico who's lived on the Lower East Side 40 years, no spare time because he's working so much. So he's self-employed and he's married and he has a kid. And then we thought maybe the juror who is from North Carolina, lawyer with 2 kids who admitted to reading the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, and listening to Car Talk podcast. If I were analyzing, I would say you probably want men. Certainly you want, I think, if you were saying what you don't want single women without kids. I think those are probably the people who dislike Trump the most in Manhattan. So I would say the 2 married guys with kids are the best options that Trump would have in those 7. You agree with that in general, that that's the best take?
I think so. And I think that it is going to come down to one, or it's going to be a conviction. I think there'll be one holdout for a hung jury, or there'll be a conviction. I don't see it going any other way, which is a shame, but that's where things are. I did manage to find for you the video that's circulating. I think it's new of
a 20-foot great white
shark. You should tell people off air we were talking about great white sharks. This is you never have any idea what the off air, and sometimes they sound very similar to the on air conversations. But you said, oh my God, have you seen this video that you sent me of the shark off Martha's Vineyard? 25 to 30 feet, great white, 5,000 pounds. This shark video is not like way under the water. You can see the fin that is out of the water. I mean, this is a monstrous animal. Can you imagine coming into this? Is basically the Jaws-sized great white shark.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jaws, the mechanical Jaws, would have been about a 20-footer. And there are great whites. I think Deep Blue is the biggest great white ever seen in the as a name for it, and it usually is off the coast of Hawaii is where they've seen it, and that goes over 20 feet. But yeah, a 5,000-pound great white shark they estimate off of Martha's Vineyard, I'm just saying, before I go to the beach, you know, sharks, man, you got to keep an eye out. You know, I'm always, the chance of being eaten by a shark is less than the chance of being struck by lightning. And yet ever since watching that movie, which, you know, in part was filmed in Martha's Vineyard, there are a few iconic scenes in Jaws, which is supposed to take place in the fictional, Amity.
Yeah.
But it really is filmed largely in Martha's Vineyard. And I've been to some of the sites. I was like, that looks familiar. And it's, oh, yeah, it actually is where they filmed this part of Jaws.
I would argue, and this would be a fun debate sometime, that Jaws is the most influential movie that's ever been made. And some of you out there are rolling your eyes. When I say most influential movie that's ever been made, I mean a fictional movie, right? There have been other movies. You could probably talk to some of the Leni Riefenstahl crazy videos that she made for the Nazis, things like that, historical films. I'm talking about a fictional film. I think Jaws has influenced people's life more than any other movie that's ever been made, because every time you go in the ocean, you think about getting eaten by a shark if you've seen Jaws.
And I know it's late and I'm about to go on vacation for a few days, so maybe that's why this is turning into like a bro podcast over here. But it's also amazing to me that as fearsome and large as great white sharks are, Orca, the killer whale, can make absolute mincemeat of any great white shark. And yet there has never once been in the wild a killer whale attack on a human being.
Is that right?
Isn't that it?
There are killer whales here where I am in Seattle, right? Can't you occasionally see them like just off the coast?
Yes. They're dolphins, not whales. They're giant dolphins, effectively. So they're as smart as dolphins, which people don't often really think about.
We did the killer whale enclosure at SeaWorld, which I think is super, like, they did the whole movie about that.
It got all controversial. Blackfin or something it was called?
I think that's right. It went after SeaWorld a big way. I don't know anything about the health of the SeaWorlds of the animals there at SeaWorld.
I think an elephant just got loose, by the way. Do you see this, too? I think an elephant just got loose. I'm serious. Do you guys check this out before we... I think an elephant in Montana at a circus. Yes. I just saw this. A full-on elephant loose from the circus in some town in Montana, running around in the streets. True king of the land animals. Elephant, not even close. Nothing even...
You could have a grizzly bear elephant interaction in Montana, which is like every kid's dream.
Elephant would absolutely destroy it. Would crush the grizzly bear like a bug. Wouldn't even be close.
Full African elephant, pay-per-view battle. Buck, have a good rest of your weekend. Have a good rest of your weekend. I'll try to stay out of prison when you come back on Monday.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.